All right, welcome everybody to another episode of 21 Going On 77. I am one half of the dynamic duo. It is your boy Dwight at 517-2214 on the Bird app. Joined again as I am every week with the brains of the operation, the young prodigy, young SJ at SJ Basketball 8. SJ, how are you doing on this post-holiday weekend?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, I just super busy. I got a lot going on. So yeah, that's pretty much everything that has to do with me.
Oh, okay, I can dig it. Well, we can get into this when we keep this short, because quite frankly, when the Mavs lose, no one listens to, well, I ain't gonna say no one. People don't, not as many people listen to it as they normally do. So yeah, man, I'm worried about the Mavs. I think we've lost two out of three since we last recorded. What's insane is them boys had a distinct rest advantage, and they still got popped and kind of faded towards the end in the one game they did win. Just to get, I guess, get started, I think last Sunday we lost to the Kings. I mean, it was a good game until it wasn't. We kind of faded towards the end, and then we get popped. And then we got popped. We couldn't stop a nosebleed. 2 days later, they played the Lakers. I thought they were going to blow the Lakers out. That's the way it looked for, I don't know, what was that, three quarters? Was it three quarters? I don't remember when the full job started happening, but
It started in the fourth. We went into that fourth quarter up 20. It was 91-71.
Oh wow. Well,
and within, it was like 3 minutes. It was like a 2-point game. Within
yeah,
3 minutes.
I did the only thing I remember is like it was halfway through the fourth quarter and we'd only scored 2 points. I think it was one, well, I don't know if it was 2 points or one field goal, but it was something spooky. And then last night, I'm gonna go ahead and admit this. I watched until about 2 minutes into the fourth quarter, and I was like, oh, they really just ain't got it. Kyrie was a little, showed some flashes, like he wanted to hoop, but after that, I just kind of gave up. I still don't know what happened the last bit of the fourth quarter. I'm just assuming we got popped, but we lost to the Clippers, and I don't know, man. The thing I'm a little concerned about, obviously going 1-2, even against three, I guess, decent teams, where I think like two of the games were on the road is a little spooky. But man, the Kings were on the second night of a back to back, and the Lakers were on the second night. All three of the teams, I think, were on the second night of a back to back. All three. So I know, I think we were on a back to back when we played the Kings. So I get it. Is that true? I don't even remember it or not.
No, we were on a back to back
and
against
the Kings.
The Kings
weren't. The Kings
and the
weren't.
Kings weren't. No,
yeah,
and
they had
LA, both LA teams were on a back to back.
There we go. So we had the rest advantage. I mean, the Kings had the rest advantage, and then we had the rest advantage against the LA teams. But either way it goes, I don't know. What's your biggest, when you see, you know, going 1-2, the flaw, blah blah blah, what is your biggest, like, damn, this is spooky, I'm scared about this? What jumps out to you that has you afraid?
Here's the thing. I feel like afraid might be the wouldn't be the word I'd use to describe how I feel about the team. Like the hot start, the 8-2, 9-4, whatever the fuck it was. All that was like great. And there was a level of excitement behind that, but I knew, like, we weren't a serious team. Like, I, like, knew that, so that's why I wouldn't say I'm afraid by what's happening. It's kind of like, oh, you know, kind of being brought back down to earth kind of feeling for me. But with that being said, I think it's just, I mean, when Lively doesn't play especially, we are just last year's team. Like, I feel like we saw that in the Raptors game when he didn't play. This game, you know, he didn't, or the last game I watched, I didn't tweet. I had lot going on, but I watched the game for the most part. It was kind of on in the background, but there, I mean, it's just last year's team. And remember how bad that team was last year? Yeah, we got different players, all that, but the especially defensively, the same like flaws are still there, especially like when Lively doesn't play. At the end of the season last year, the offense was pretty elite. Like, it wasn't as smooth as it is right now, I would say. I think we do have better shooters, have better offensive players. So the offense is even more explosive now, but defensively it's the same thing. So when Lively is not on the court, pretty much, not even just when he doesn't play games, like when he's not on the court, period. This is just last year's team defensively. We saw how bad it gets. So I think that is the main thing to be talked about, that yeah, the defensive woes didn't really get, addressed other than Lively. And again, he's a 19-year-old rookie center at the end of the day. So having to rely on him this heavily to fix the defense, that was always gonna be, an issue. And we're seeing it, pop up now, which is why I was imploring people when there were a lot of victory laps going on too, after the Lakers game. With I mean, Rashawn Holmes played well in his minutes, so I'll give him that. But like, the victory laps that I saw was kind of crazy. I didn't say anything. I didn't address it at all because one, I like I said, I'm tired of arguing about, stupid shit, and two, I understand that he's still not a long-term solution. So regardless of what we're seeing and what flashes come up, there is no in-house solution on the roster for like better defense. Like, yes, there's some things they could straighten out in the sense that communication is bad, rotations are bad. There's just certain things as a professional player that you yourself can, hold yourself accountable and just play better. Namely, we have just, I mean, I'm not gonna single out people. It's really everybody. But there's no in-house solutions regardless. So when people were like, oh yeah, like people thought we were fixed if Lively's there and Holmes is his backup and we're good. No, the problems will still arise in that scenario. And at the end of the day, the roster is still not good enough. And we could talk about fake starts. Oh, they had a fake start, but I don't think the start was fake. I wouldn't say it was fake. You know what I'm saying? It's just that we were hot. If the offense was elite and we were playing teams that could not keep up, because that's the thing. If you could keep up with us offensively while, being able to get stops when needed, you're gonna win the game. And especially recently when the offense hasn't been like at the peak of its powers, this is what's gonna happen. We're gonna get embarrassed. And I just think it's funny because I had this was early when we were winning. A mutual had DM'd me and was asking we're playing so well, blah, 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 blah. Do you think this is sustainable, blah, blah, blah. And I was at the time I was like, I don't think it's sustainable. I was like, I'd be curious to see what the team looks like. Because this is when Grant had been shooting like 50% on like 10 attempts, like when he was going nuts. I had said, I was like, I'd be curious to see what we look like if Grant starts like really slumping and stuff. Grant hasn't done a damn thing in like 2 weeks. He has not done anything in like 2 weeks. And a lot of these games where we're folding, again, I'm not singling out anyone because I feel like there's a lot of people that could be better. But you look at Grant and he's missing some key shots. Like in the fourth, when we're in the Bucks game, we could go all the way back to the Bucks game when he missed all those shots in the fourth, kind of took our momentum out. Same thing in the Lakers game. He was missing a bunch of shots in the fourth, when we could be extending the lead. And I just think he has been invisible. And not just being invisible, but when it's like he can't really do anything offensively other than spot up. Like they've tried to use him, as the short roller and stuff, and he could make, cool passes and stuff, but those are things that need to be done in spurts. Like when you see him try to do it, like they've been going to it a bit more regularly, and it just feels like he turns the ball over every time he has to do something extra, you know, other than shoot a wide open shot. You know, if he has to drive the close out or catch the ball, like he's turning the ball over, like he's not. And here's the thing, I knew he wasn't gonna be some huge offensive weapon for us. Like that's not who he is. So I'm not trying to hold that against him, but the reality of the situation is that we do not have a consistent like third guy, and that's that like that shouldn't be Tim, even though it is Tim right now. But him in that spot, you know, is rough, especially when the fourth option, there's no fourth option to kind of provide as a cushion for him. You know what I'm saying? Like if he's off, we don't have anybody else that could even come close to scaling up their scoring to kind of match that. Like we don't, which is why I was so disappointed with Josh, because I was like, damn, he could have been in that kind of spot where, hey, if Tim is fucking bricking the shit out of every single shot, who's that next guy who can scale up their scoring? Who is it?
There is no one.
Who's there is no
There
one.
is
Like,
no
and I'm
one.
not trying to shoot Tim Bale, you know what I'm saying, by saying, no, Tim has a lot on his plate. I'm not trying to shoot him Bale. I'm just saying, because I think last performance he was so bad. He hasn't really been great the past couple of games, and shit, that's showing in the results. Like we need Tim, like if we're gonna win games, he has to be at the peak of his powers, which is kind of, you know, insane. But regardless, just, we don't have, like, as much as the offense is elite and all that, we don't have that those scoring options outside of the stars, really. That and Tim, and then like I said, the stars and Tim, that's a crazy combination. You know what I'm saying? Like looking to what is Tim even a what Tim is like what a top 80 player in the league, like you know what I'm saying, like about around there. So you're going for two, you're going from two like top 30 players to like a top 80 player you're relying on to really carry your offense. And it's kind of crazy given the defensive woes that we have. Like the offense has to be absolutely elite to parade around the defense that we have. And I mean, you're seeing it out east. I've been making a joke for a while now about how the Pacers are the Mavs East, but like I'm watching, that's how I need to honestly, if you want to get an unbiased opinion about the Mavs as a Mavs fan, just watch Pacers game and just replace what you're thinking about them with the Mavs, and you will kind of understand. Like recently I've been watching a lot of Pacers, and every time I watch them I'm like, damn, they can't guard a thing. Like as much as the offense is explosive, you know, Halliburton when he's on, he's cooking, everything looks great, it's still kind of like damn, like you feel like you and your homies could go toe to toe with them. Like that's how you feel watching them, because they can't guard. And I'm like, just take that and replace that with the Mavs, and that's just how we are, bro. We can't guard a soul, we cannot guard anybody. And people are saying, oh, play Omax, play this, get him here, and we
No,
should come on, bro. We'd have no in-house solutions. We don't. We just don't. We don't. Like people say, oh, play Omax at the small ball five, and let like he. That's not. First of all, I don't think he's a small ball five right now.
he ain't, but I think Dwight Powell has been so bad. And I'm not even a Powell hater, but I don't know. It's something that was happening last night that just was like, hey, bro, just grab the fucking ball. He kept doing the tip back and normally don't bother me like everybody else, but there was times he just could have grabbed the fucking ball and he wasn't doing it. It was driving me insane. Truly driving me insane.
Yeah, his problem is that he's 6'9" with no wingspan to compensate that. So he's always gonna look like a fucking toddler out there. He's just always gonna look like a toddler, especially since you're asking him to. And that's the thing. The problem with Powell really is that he has a center skill set with no center body framework. And that's a problem because you can't even stretch him. You know what I'm saying? You can't even say, hey, go behind the 3-point line. If you can't do shit in the paint, go behind the 3-point line and just spot up. He can't do that, so he has to really be in the trenches. You can't play him anywhere else other than the trenches. And he can't play in the trenches because unless he's playing like a center that's kind of his height and no physicality, that's the only time he could really, like a Jaren Jackson Jr. He could lock up Jaren Jackson Jr. because Jaren kind of soft, you know what I'm saying, in the paint. He's not really imposing his will like that. So yeah, he could lock up guys like that. But if we're talking any your run-of-the-mill regular center, he can't do nothing with them. So he just looks like a toddler. And that's when people thinking I'm shooting bail for problem. No, he sucks, but it's just that I don't want to use him as the punching bag. Like y'all saying he represents everything wrong with the Mavs. I'm not gonna go that far. Not for somebody playing that little minutes, you know what I'm saying? If he I'm not going that far. That's all I'm saying. That's what people don't understand. Like, it's not no I'm standing for him, Bob. That's not what's going on, bro. It's really not what's going on. It's just that I don't want to make him the face of my hatred for the team. Y'all wanna do that, that's cool. Y'all could do that. But the issue also arises when y'all don't want to admit that's what you're doing. So it just, you are acting like you're coming from a place of objectivity and whatnot, but that's not the case. So just say yes. I saw someone say he represents like the tanking era of the Mavs. That, like, to me, that's a valid excuse if you want to feel like that. Of course, if you want to feel like that, but don't try to make it like it's some objective thing when it's really not. That's all I'm saying with that. But the point is, the center rotation, we knew from the jump, it's not that great. It's not that great. Behind Lively, who you can't, again, he's a rookie center, so even trying to pencil him in for 30 plus minutes a game, that's kind of crazy, you know, to expect that at this point. But this is what we kind of need. And then behind him, again, it's Powell, it's fucking Holmes, and it's fucking washed up Maxey when he comes back. Like, these are not viable options. You know, Holmes, he had his moment in the Lakers game. He looked all right, but that's not a viable option. You know what I'm saying? He's not a viable option, despite, like, yeah, like, bless your souls too. And I didn't touch it on the timeline because, again, I'm tired of going back and forth, but I'm gonna say it here. Those victory laps were ridiculous.
Oh my God.
They were crazy, bro. Like I said, I did not want to say anything on the timeline, especially after a guy's had a good game. You don't want to be the one to try to, like, I don't want to act like I'm shitting on him or anything, because he had a good game. You know, he deserved praise. Especially grabbing his, you know me, I love when a guy grabs an opportunity. I love that. So I was really happy for him. But you have to understand, Holmes 6'8", too. Like, Holmes about 6'9". I'll give him 6'9", maybe 6'9 and a half, up to 6'10". But he's not that big either. And he cannot really score. Granted, he's not supposed to be out there to score, but you see, he's small. Like, he can't. There's a one play where he, I think Luka lobbed it up for him in the last game, and he just couldn't like score. And it wasn't a big deal in the grand scheme of things, but that play was just like, you realize how small and not like, but like, he doesn't play above the rim as you think. People are saying, oh, a lob third. Holmes is not that. He's not really a lob threat. He doesn't play above the rim, like that. And one thing about it, a center that plays with Luka, as you've seen, like, the best ones, the ones that are gonna like thrive offensively at the very least, are ones who play above the rim. That's just how it is. So it looked kind of awkward a bit,
Yeah,
with him offensively out there, and then again
that
defensively.
push out is not falling at all no more. That used to be
It's
his
that's
hit.
it's done, bro. It's cooked. Because Team Scott, teams know he gonna do that weak shit. And like I said, he's like 6'9", 6'8". So like, his defenders are guys who are probably, you know, 7 foot around, you know, 7 foot. So of course they contest that shit. He's not making that anymore. Like, yeah, I'm sorry, that's just what it is. So my point is, like, the roster is not ready to be serious yet. This has been like this the hot start was fun, it was cute, but like, I don't want to call it fake, because I don't think we were, like, that's when people were saying, oh, talk about the match, blah, blah, blah. I was like, stop pushing, but like, let pe if people want to wait, just let the people wait and see. Calling it fake is what I have a problem with, because like I said, last year we were losing some of these games. Like, even early, some of those games that we won, we lost them last year. So I was happy to see that kind of progress. But again, you have to stay the course. We're not gonna, overnight, we were never gonna become a contender overnight, especially when you consider the offseason we had. As good as it was, it wasn't something to say, hey, the Mavs turned their team into a contender. No, that did not happen. So we're kind of seeing that, right? Things kind of balance itself out right now. So we're in a period of, again, the L's are coming, kind of coming on strong nowadays, because like I said, they're kind of, the record is finding itself in a balancing situation at this point, regression to the mean, if you will. But at the end of the day, I don't know what's gonna happen. That's the weirdest part right now, because we're in a situation where it's too early. It's still a tad too early to be talking about trades, considering that most of the league can't even be traded right now. So it's a little early to be like talking about trades, but you're at the point where okay, there's really no in-house fix to the problems that we have on the roster. So what are you going to do? It's kind of like, are you going to have pride as men to realize, because I'm just curious of how film sessions are going, because there's so many moments in the game where I'm like, I know your ass is gonna get torn up in the film room. Like, what do they say to these guys when they see some of the breakdowns? And it was the one breakdown, the screenshot that went semi-viral on Mavs Twitter about it was in the Kings game when I think it was Sabonis on the block, Hardy and Lively were trying to double Sabonis on the block. Jones Jr. was I think he was guarding, was it Harrison Barnes? Harrison Barnes was in the paint somehow. The paint was kind of clogged. And it was Tim and Luka, flat-footed, back turned. Like, they were sunken all the way down in the paint, not guarding anybody, just ball watching. I don't even know how the possession ended or whatever the case may be. It was just a screen grab that I'm remembering, but it's things like that. Like, you see it all the time. Like, nobody knows where they're guarding. Dudes are ball watching. It's just all bad. And then I know I haven't been on Twitter, but I know there was a whole thing with Westbrook and like Luka. Westbrook going at Luka in the fourth, all that, blah 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 blah. And I know Luka kind of got hurt. I think it's something with his hand, his thumb.
Yeah, they think he broke his thumb.
Oh damn. Damn, I ain't broken. I didn't know it was that.
Nah, no. Like, even I guess he got a X-ray at the in the at during the game, but the way it bent, he probably at least tore or damaged some ligaments. Like, no, he fucked his hand up for real. He was still hooping. He was.
Yeah, so
Offensively, I should say.
yeah, well, I mean, I don't think a thumb. Actually, let me not say that. That was gonna come out rude, bro. Let me not say that. But anyway, hope he's okay, because we don't need, missed time from him. That's gonna derail some things if we're gonna try to steady the ship. That will be a huge derailment. But I mean, I just think defensively, everybody gotta, everybody gets the answer for that, honestly, because even Grant, where it's clear that defensively he needs to play a certain role defensively. Like, he's slow-footed.
He's slow as shit.
He's slow, exactly. So
He better guard fours and fives than any other positions. And
exactly
if the
any other
four and
position.
if the four got some juice, it get a little scary there too.
Exactly. So I think that revelation needs to, that's even more so why I think a point of attack defender at the three becomes even more imperative, because Grant cannot do it. He can't do it. And that's when people compare, when that's why some of these comparisons, I'm like, I get it, but like, I just think they're so off. Like, people are saying, oh yeah, Grant is our new Dorian. But he's more Verton. Grant is not Dorian, bro.
No.
He's not Dorian. Like, that's the closest thing we have to Dorian right now on the roster is a rookie. That's not even, what I'm saying? Olmax is more of a Dorian variant. And even then, what I'm saying? It's still not. Dorian could legit guard 1 to 4. I will even put 5 in there, but I'm not gonna get, you're not sticking to my centers like the whole game. You could do it in spurts, but Dorian really guards 1 to 4, bro. Like, he really guards 1 to 4, and not just saying it as a, hey, this guy, theoretically you say it about a guy, but they really can't. No, he's one of the guys that can. And at this point, we know how valuable that is. Like, as much as I, Grant, he helps out. Like, I thought he did an excellent job on AD. Honestly, he was really not just AD, but he was really stonewalling guys. Like, that's the thing with Grant. Like, That's the type of defender he is. Good post defender. So if you kind of play back to the basket and you're not like a fucking Jokic, you know, who's just the best at it. But if you don't have too much size to overwhelm him, he can really lock you up in the post. But if you're a wing type guards, you know, quick wings, he's not gonna be able to guard those types. And then again, you look who we have doing it, and it's Derrick Jones Jr., who he's been okay. He's been okay, certainly, but you see offensively where there's sometimes you can't play him. You just can't, and it's not just the shot, but sometimes, you know, he gets to the rim, tries to, you know, leverage his athleticism, and it doesn't quite work. It was like the Bucks game. He kept trying to take it to Brooke and Giannis and get his shit sent, because it's like, you know, it works against some of these other weak ass, you know, rim protectors, but it's not gonna work against them. Okay, what else do you have to offer? Nothing. So you can't play. You know what I'm saying? You can't play. So then it's like, okay, you look at who's next. Okay, Josh, where again he had a has had an hit or miss kind of season thus far, but I think on both sides of the ball too. Where again, defensively his strength is isolation defense. Again, he can try with the you know, screen defense and stuff, but I mean, it's just not great, bro. With the lineups we've been playing, the I'm seeing Exum, Hardy, Josh, you know, all these small dudes on the court at
Wait,
once.
I do have a question about that. People get mad about those lineups, and I gotta be honest with you, it don't bother me because I'm just like, who the fuck else is supposed to play? Like, maybe you swap out one of them dudes for Omax, but and I'm still a Omax stan, but I'm also not delusional. Like, Omax not coming to save the season. I've seen enough from the limited minutes he's had to where I don't think the young man gonna save the season. I just want him play out of pure it just run around and have him be big. I think that's better than some of the alternatives, but I don't really know what other cranks Jason Kidd has to turn, levers to pull to like dog, we got a team full of guards. Who I don't really know who else he's supposed to play. Like or do you agree, do you disagree? Because again, I'm no Jason Kidd fan, but like the roster is the roster. Or do you disagree, I should say? Do you think the lineups is all right in or good, bad, somewhere in between? What is your opinion on that?
Here's the thing. I think the lineups are very bad. But the problem, like, I see where you're going with this, and I would agree with you that it's not just Kidd. As quiet as it's kept, and it's something, as much as I'm not here to say I give up on him or it was a mistake of a signing or whatever, whatever. But a lot of the problem, like, if we look at the fact, Grant is 6'6", bro.
Yeah.
So that, like, I think that really, because if I'm not mistaken, he pretty much plays most of the first and third quarters, or first quarter. I know he definitely plays most of the first quarter. But like, if he was a bit bigger, that kind of ties the lineups together more. But he's not, like, he's like, if you're talking about our big bodies, he's included in that, but he's only 6'6". So with Maxi being out, and it's like, okay, you can play, you know, Grant and Powell together more or something like that. But again, Grant starts, Powell's a bench guy. Grant can't play the entire game. You know what I'm saying? So we really don't have the options. Like you said, we don't. We just don't. So as much as, yeah, we kill Kidd, and I think, yeah, he can do things differently, but like you said, it's calling on like guys like Omax, and I think people, like, it's one thing to want to see him and, you know, have it be a situation where he shows us that either he can handle the minutes or not, but I don't think holding Kidd, not wanting to experiment like that against Kidd, is a good, you know, way to look at things, because you're asking basically if a rookie can kind of save what we got going on defensively. And from what he's shown, it's not like he had that one good possession where he made Kawhi pass out of a drive, but like other than that, I don't think he's shown anything where you're like, oh my God, this kid has to play more. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I don't think there's anything justifiable there where you're like, no, he, absolutely has to play. So again, there's no in-house solutions. I'll be waiting to see what they do, until some of those deadlines, those December 15th, the January, what was it, 26th or 15th or whatever the fuck it is. When those deadlines start to approach, I'd be curious to see what the team looks like at that point and then where we could go from there. But other than that, I don't like if we went 8-2 and you thought we were a contender, I'm sorry, that's just on you. if that was the case. I was enjoying it myself, but in the corner of your brain, you have to understand that. Context, kind of weave context in. And the reason why a lot of y'all were getting defensive about people calling the start fake or this, that, or we haven't played real people is because y'all knew it was a little true deep down. So you like, you got a little defensive. It is what it is. That's humans for you. So it is what it is. But like you said, we just need the offense to get back to, like that kind of historic elite levels, because that's the way we're gonna win games. And these recent games, it just has not been that. Like we stopped scoring at like important stretches, and that can't happen. Like the Lakers game, even the Bucks game, even the Kings game, we just stopped scoring. Like, and that just can't happen when your defense is as bad as ours. You can't stop scoring. I would say that's the difference with like us and the Pacers. Even though I think we have like similar records or whatever, and you can't really, I guess the comparisons are a bit different because you have to factor in opponents, blah blah blah. But still, I feel like the one thing the Pacers might have over us at right now is that they don't stop scoring. Like they won't defend. Like so the other team will keep scoring as well, but they personally won't really stop scoring. Their issues are when it gets into the clutch and you're saying, hey, Tyrese, get me a bucket. He's looking a little shaky, honestly. But other than that, they don't stop scoring for the most part. That's why their scores look so crazy. Their recent scores have been like, it's like 140 to 140, 130, 130. Like their recent scores have looked that nuts because they haven't stopped scoring. Like our score, box scores have kind of looked more normal as of late because we're having issues with scoring. And that just can't happen. That cannot happen with the team that we have. So at this point I hope Tim can get back to what he does. Hopefully Josh. I don't really know what he did the last game. I know most of the rope guys didn't do anything last game, so I didn't really check box scores, but he has to figure some stuff out. As Kyrie has been good recently. Luka's kind of been up and down, and now we'll see what's gonna happen with this wrist injury. Cause I don't know. I feel like last game I was watching, the last game felt like a whole stat pad game for Luka. Like Clippers controlled most of it, but it felt like I don't know. It just felt like the buckets weren't doing anything.
You say you want scoring organic buckets? No, I'm just playing.
No, I'm just saying, like, certain games where, like, sometimes when there's games like that, where we're getting our asses handed to, and there's sometimes where it's like, okay, Luka, you're stat padding, but there's sometimes when it's like, damn, like, Luka's really trying to get us back into, like, he's really trying not to lose. This game felt more like the former. This game felt like those ones where it's like, okay, he's just getting booked. Like, I saw he ended at 30. I was like, wow, how convenient, right at the average, kind of thing. Obviously, he's not doing, obviously, he's scoring to try to get back in there. Obviously, like, I know that, but I'm just saying, in terms of how it felt like one of the, non-impactful like buckets kind of game. And honestly, those games it kind of checks out because those are the games too when he's pretty bad on defense. And I think, and the thing with Luka, one more point before I shut up because I realize I've been talking for a little bit, but one thing with Luka is that he looks the when his defensive moments go viral, like the bad defensive moments, it's mainly when he's not even trying. And for a guy like that, if you know If you know you're not like a quote unquote natural defender, to me, you can't have moments when he looks like he did, like where you're not trying it, because it's gonna look 10 times worse. It's gonna look 10 times worse. So he's gotta, I don't know, man. He's gotta figure some stuff out defensively.
I don't care what the other roster parts look like until he guards this team or any team Luka Doncic plays for will never be serious. That's the fact, and people gonna hear that and say, "Oh, he does so much." It don't matter. You got to do it all to win, and he has to guard. He, him, and Tim, they just don't. They just get lost. They just don't get lost. And the way this roster is built, you basically have to play those two together for extended stretches, or you're not going to be able to score. The roster is so unbalanced. And this is why I've been saying, like, I like Tim. I'm a Tim fan. But I don't, Tim can't be the third best player. He can't even be the third leading scorer in this thing go the way it needs to go. Coming into the season, like after the start, I was like, we sure we can't be the Kings? You know what I'm saying? And I still think that might be on the table. I'm talking about the Kings of last year. I do think that's still potentially on the table, but I don't know, man. I just feel like Harrison Barnes, for as flawed as as flawed as he is, is still pretty hell. Keegan Murray is still as flawed. He's a rookie last year. I'm still not sure if Keegan Murray wouldn't be a better third option than what Tim Hardaway Jr. is.
Here's the
So
thing, sorry to cut you off, but quiet as it's kept too, we can't be the Kings because the Kings were a lot more, like, beyond the luck that they had, they were a lot more versatile offensively. In the sense that, yeah, a lot of the, hot shooting was a big part of their success and stuff, but they were a lot more creative offensively, where it felt a bit more sustainable to where right now we're going through a rut offensively and we can't win games, where I felt like the Kings, they don't have ruts like this. So that's another reason why I think it's that comparison is a little tricky to live up to as well.
well, I was just saying more along the lines of top three, four, five offense and then bottom five defense. But that offense is just so overwhelming that you eventually get it done. And I still think that's potentially on the table for this year's Mavs. I don't know, man. Like I said, I'm a fan of Tim, but if Tim play 10 games, he's going to be asked for like two or three. And he's going to be a damn all-star for two or three. And then the rest of them are going to be somewhere in the middle. And defensively, like, if Tim and Luka are on the court together, it's cooked, man. Unless you got fucking all defensive team players at the other three spots. And I think Lively will get there one day, but I just don't. We just don't. We don't. Even Grant, and I still like you said, to bring it back to something you said earlier. I like Grant. I think Grant is good. I'm happy we signed him. And I guess after we come back from the break, I'll like elaborate why and who I would potentially trade for to push him to the bench. I don't think he's a locked-in starter when if the Mavs contend. I don't think we need to be guaranteeing that. But I'm gonna go ahead, guys. We're gonna have this little break. You're gonna hear a little music, and then we'll be back in a sec. So anyway, something I've been thinking about a lot lately. I think the rational idea, I believe most people are like, we can't make any trades basically involving draft picks or anything else just because, we need everything to make this big trade. And I'm just kind of like, I'll be honest, I'm kind of off that now. Because I don't think this is, I don't think if you drop OG on this team, I'm not, should it get better? But I think shit is still bad. He is one man, he's one human being. And he's Grant Williams is still 6'6". You feel me? And this is why, like, I'm actually open to trading for someone that makes Grant Williams a bench player, be it bringing Dorian back, bringing Jeremy Grant. Yeah, obviously, the deal is going to have to be the right deal, but I was kind of opposed to that when the season started. But now, as I watch this, it's like, dog, Grant kind of slow. He is fucking slow. And I would like, he has a role in the NBA, and I think he could start on a good team. I don't think it's impossible, but he kind of has to be the worst starter. Like, if the team is going to be good, he has to be surrounded by other good players. And I think he's a solid role player, and he makes solid role player money. So I don't know, man. That's why I'm kind of open to bringing Dorian back. And I'm back open to Jeremy Grant because I got to be honest with you. I know you say it ain't a perfect fit, but I think Jeremy Grant could play on the court with fucking Luka and Kyrie and it not be an absolute disaster defensively better than Tim Hardaway Jr. But what I'm trying to do is get somebody that can create some offense, but also, like, at least hold their water defensively. And Jeremy Grant ain't what he used to be, but I think he can hold his water. If that makes sense. And and obviously I'd be cool with bringing Dorian back at this point. I fucking would trade Dorian for Josh straight up. I don't even know if the fucking Nets would do that no more. I don't even know if that's on the table. But I'm fine with bringing in another four. I am. A dude that is definitely a four, that is beyond a shout, a four, and moving Grant Williams to the bench. I'm okay with that. Because, and it's not that I think Grant Williams stinks or anything of that nature. He is just so slow. And I watch him and I'm like, man, anytime any two or one, two or three has any type of burst or wiggle, he's just getting past them. Like I think he did a pretty good job on Kawhi. I think he does a good job on bigger dudes. Like, he's a good player. I'm not trying to shit on him, but I'm sorry, bro. Like, I'd rather have Dorian. I think I'd
But
rather.
see, I think here's the thing. This team, which is why the Luka Kyrie fit is so, I go back and forth with it a lot, is because at Grant's spot, what we're asking the player to do
Is a
is
unicorn.
so difficult. Yeah, it's so difficult. That's why I know I'm harping on it, and it really doesn't matter now because he's just not on a team, but that's why I was like, y'all are really underestimating the value that Dorian had for the team. Because it's, you just said you'd rather have Dorian. Not because he's some much better player. Granted, you know, he's having a great season now, but it's not like he's some super superior player and he's better than Grant by a mile. And Grant is probably definitely the better shooter. You know what I'm saying? But defensively,
Is he?
I
No,
think
I'm
he
just playing.
is.
I
No, I
think
think
he
he is.
is. He
I think
is.
he is. He's a little bit more versatile than Dorian. Dorian really is a spot up guy. He's really like, and Grant is a spot up guy, but I trust him more on like handling closeouts more. Like he can shoot the contested three better than Dorian can. But anyway, like defensively, what he was doing is not something that's easy to find. And it's something that the team absolutely needs. That's the difference here. Not every team needs a guy that can guard 1 to 4. Of course, a team would love that. You know, every team loves that. But not every team needs that with the way how their, you know, personnel is set up, for instance. But in our case, we kind of need that. We need that, which is why it's, you know, a lot of it gets traced back to the fact that I'm not gonna say, but we, the team, how it's constructed, and not just how it's constructed, but in the future, we're just gonna need a guy, and it doesn't matter if it's the three or the four, doesn't matter, but we're going to need a guy. In the front court, and that's the tricky part. You're gonna need a guy in the front court that can handle 1 to 4. And Grant, again, he could do 4 and 5, some threes, But that he it's a stretch asking him to do one and two. Whereas Dorian, you legitimately could put him on point guards, shooting guards, wings, fours, even centers sometimes. But you know what I'm saying? Like, he legit, like, you, okay, oh, we are in a series. You need somebody to guard Donovan Mitchell, Dorian. You need somebody to call, guard this person, Dorian. You know what I'm saying? He was the guy. But with Grant, it's a little bit more matchup dependent than that. You know what I'm saying? And that's where we're running into the issues. But I mean, that's the problem we're having here. And hopefully, I think, they're thinking, that's why I'm saying that Omax is probably the closest variant to somebody that we could put in that spot. But again, that's a rookie. You're asking to do that. So it's tough. And I mean, to your point about the four and Grant to the bench, I hear what you're saying. With my preference, I think I would much rather them target the three, getting the three spots squared away first, or getting the point of attack different, I should say, squared away first with this third score. Or it doesn't even matter about the third score, but the point of attack different, I would like to see them get that squared away, just because in the meantime, at least Grant can kind of act like a pseudo starter. You know what I'm saying? Like, I said, like, he can serve as somewhat of a stopgap, starter. Whereas I don't, like, I think our stopgap three, we overstaying the welcome with the, Jerk Jones Jr. was a cute little revelation, but I think we're overextending it now. And we have no, and I know people are saying, oh, just play Josh, but I don't know, man. I just think we don't have anybody to even pseudo play that spot, and it's getting a little spooky right there. So that's why I just think we need two big moves for that. And with the assets or whatever the case may be, I would want them to target the point of attack first before we talk about a Grant replacement.
Well, this is the way I look at it. Like to me, if you brought Dorian in here or you brought even Jeremy Grant, I'm not sure they couldn't hold up at the point of attack. I'm not sure they wouldn't be a net positive. You'd probably be starting both of them, right? They probably just would be starting next to Grant, and I don't think those dudes are elite at point of attack, but I think I just man, I think the Derrick Jones offensive player explosion, I think that's run its course already. I think he's going to revert back to what he is, and which is a solid player, and he'd be a solid player off the bench, but he's currently starting, right? And because in my opinion, like everybody need point of attack defense. Everybody in the NBA is especially point of attack defense from someone that can score some points. So I don't know. I'm not sure that's going to be an option that is not Omax, if that makes any sense. I'm not sure that's just going to be on the trade block. I don't think OG is getting traded. I think Toronto's going to pay him
Yeah,
all
I don't think
the
he's
money.
getting traded. I think he's getting maxed out by Toronto.
Yeah,
That's
Toronto
my
is just going to
opinion.
pay him the money. And then we're getting into Patrick Williams and the Chicago shit. And it's like, like, are we sure those dudes are just better at what it would be to get Dorian back or get Jeremy Grant? I don't know, man. I really don't know. And I don't know. I don't think that three that we need is ever going to be available, is what I'm trying to get at. I think you're gonna have to draft that or.
And if that's the case, then I mean, I think some other uncomfortable conversations going to need to happen if that's the case. Because I don't know, I'm of the opinion that if we, and that's the thing with Omax, like, is he going to be ready by next year? People are just assuming, yeah, he'll be by next year, he'll just come in rotation.
Who
He'll
is these
be.
people? I feel like I'm the leader of the bandwagon and I'm not ready. I'm not comfortable
I
saying
don't know. When, honestly, when I say people or y'all, I'm
that.
loosely saying it. Like, it's not
Okay.
like
I
I have
got you.
people in mind or
I
anything like
got you. I
that.
got you.
I just like, cause I get a lot of people in my mentions all day, every day, and I'm just saying based on things that I recall seeing in there,
Got you.
and I recall seeing people think that by next year he'll be ready, or this, that, and the third, but I don't know. I just feel strongly. I'm really feel strongly about the opinion that to even go anywhere. And I get what you're saying about the grand thing about being a starter on a serious team. And I would agree to an extent, but I don't think the Kyrie Luka window going anywhere without competent point of attack defense. I just don't think it is. And if, like you said, if we can't acquire that somehow, then this is shit. Like, this window, is there even a window here? For the Luka Kyrie partnership? I don't know.
I mean, not to take it all the way
Don't
back,
know.
but as we went back, like, how old is Kyrie? I thought he was 32. I think
I
he's
think he's
31.
31. Yeah, I think he's 31.
I think he's like a crispy 31. Like, I think he just turned 31 a couple weeks ago. So I'll just say this, man. Kyrie effectively is a free agent in 18 months because he can opt out. And if he just keeps his nose clean, people still don't want to give him money. And I don't know.
Exactly. That's why I'm like, what I'm saying? Like, that's why I'm saying I'm of the mind to acquire, because Omax, like, I'm not penciling him in as a, especially for what we need, a championship level, type of, I'm not gonna pencil him in. Like, I definitely get your point, and I would even agree to you to an extent that, like, shit, the market's gonna be, it's not like you say, teams aren't lining up to give away these guys. You know what I'm saying? As much as I always say I'm gonna stay on the OG Hill, and I'm still gonna stay on it until I get the notification that he's staying or whatever. But I do believe he is gonna stay. Like he said, he has no problem staying there. Like, he's been there his whole career. If they're gonna pay him the money, I don't see, you know what I'm saying? Like, he got no issue. I don't see why he would move on. So, and then there's not like they're terrible. The Raptors, they're not great, but they're not horrible. So I know they believe that they're just a few moves away. So they have no inkling to also move him. But regardless, I just think I really do feel strongly about having that point of attack.
Oh
And
no. I'm right there with you. I think I'm more, to me, we need six guys, right? This is always my thing. You need six or seven dudes to win a championship. I think Lively's one. I think Luka is one. I think Kyrie is one while he's here. And then what? So even if you some say you they trade Dorian for one first and Josh Green, right? I don't even know if the money works. I don't know, but let's just say theoretically that's a trade that can happen. There's still like two, three first and the rest of the young dudes you could trade in the summer. So it's not trading for a position or a player. I do not think that excludes trading for the point of attack defender. That's I think what I'm getting at. I think there's enough room, especially with Derek Lively hitting and hitting so fast, and he makes fucking $4 or $5 million a year for the next shit 4 or 5 years. Like, to me, that's kind of a cheat code to where it's like I can go overpay a salary slot in that 1 through 6 because I'm not having to pay a center. And then if you got Grant Williams as one of them, again, even if Grant Williams is the fucking first or second dude off the bench, he really don't make that much money, even for his flaws and his production. He's still a solid piece at his pay. So to me, if you look at where we at cap wise, Luka make his money, Kyrie make his money, but it ain't like them dudes on super duper maxes where they making 60 and they're not making what the fucking Celtics duo was about to make. So you still got room to where you can go spend another 30, $40 million. I'm not 40, it gets spooky, but you still got s s a slot, a $30 million slot in that top six that you could go get with somebody. And I would want it to be a point of attack defender, but I just think we got to try to get better because I'm not saying give up everything for Dorian, and I'm not saying give up everything for Jeremy Grant, but if you can get them without, because my concern is I don't know how much longer the Mavericks young dudes are gonna be valuable. Like, fucking Josh Green is becoming a negative asset as we speak, as we talk. Jane Hardy, God bless the young man, but he ain't exactly like when he, I mean, he's getting a play. He ain't playing a whole lot, but when he do hit the floor, he ain't doing a whole lot. He damn sure ain't shooting. He's literally shooting the splits that made us want to put fucking Tim Hardaway Jr. and fire him into orbit. So the only time Josh Green or Jaden Hardy have played extended minutes was on a fucking tanking team. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate their efforts, but that shit was not like in the crux of it within the context of winning basketball. So I just don't give a fuck about them no more. I don't give a fuck about their futures. I don't give a fuck about valuing them. As long as Luka and Kyrie here, I've been saying it for a while, they kind of redundant. They just can't play. I'm sorry. We're gonna end up with a bunch of lineups with a bunch of guards and one good center. Even if that good center, one good center, even if that backup five is good, it don't fucking matter if the other four guys around them are guards. So that's just where I'm at. Even if that's why I'm like, I will trade Jaden Hardy, Josh Green, any of these fucking guards for someone bigger than them, even if it's not the perfect point of attack defender. I feel like that was just an extraordinarily long run-on sentence, but does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I mean, we're on the same page about shipping out the guys. I mean, there's still people who think Hardy's some,
Now
you
get
know, superstar in hiding or whatever the case may be, and
man, they
they
make a
can.
they there's a new Jaden Hardy that's drafted at the end of the first round every fucking year and has been drafted at the end of the first round every fucking year for at least the last two or three. What, this year was Marcus Sasser, last year was him, year before that it was Cam Thomas, year before that was Bones Highland. Like, they keep making that variant of player, and it ain't that hard to get late in the draft.
Exactly. As quiet as it kept, like, y'all talking about us overvaluing role players, blah, but y'all overvalue some of these young guys, bro. Hardy
Oh,
Bohan.
SJ, I'm tweeting that. I'm tweeting that. Yeah, I'm
Bro,
fine. I mean to cut you off, but
nah,
that's
go
a
right
thought I'm
ahead.
stealing. I'm stealing.
Yeah, because I mean that's why I'm like put I don't really care who it's for. As long as it's I feel like we're getting some type of upgrade, I'm including those guys. I'm sorry. Like, I'm just, it is what it is. Like, they're not,
I'll take it here. If they would have traded fucking Josh instead of Dorian, the team is better right now.
oh,
In
by
that Kyrie
far.
trade, the team is way better. The
By far.
team probably makes a, well, it
I
makes,
don't know about making a play, because Dorian was still hurt. Dorian was still hurt last year.
yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah,
I
so
don't know, but
he was playing.
it was, I think they make the play-in tournament, but they probably
They
lose.
probably made a plan, but they don't get lively, so that's the
Yeah.
trade-off
You're right.
here.
You're right. You're right. You're right.
Yeah, but I just think that I'm just not, if we, like you said, if we can build towards something, like, here's the thing, these are building blocks. And these young guys, like, that's why I'm so, people are talking about I'm not training Hardy. I'm like, how, like, realistically, how much do you think he's gonna blossom here? He's a guard playing behind two star guards. Realistically, what is his ceiling like right now? If you think he's the Kyrie successor, man, I don't know what to tell you. at this point in time, like, if you thought that
Oh
last year,
God.
fine. But like after seeing things, like
After
after seeing,
between Summer League and even this year,
that's what I'm saying. How could you think that way, bro?
he is not the number one option. Even he's not even a six man, like number one scoring option. Like he is good when another player creates an advantage for him to take advantage of. But if you
If you're trying to run offense through him, bro, he's gonna be bad. He's gonna be bad. And
like
we're seeing this.
poor man's Jordan Clarkson, like
Exactly.
that, like that's what that shit is looking at, and that has
Like
a value in it.
we're seeing Poole go through right now, where it was
Yeah.
like he's in Washington. It's like, hey, you get more attention, you know, defensive attention. Hey, we're running stuff, and he looks horrible.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah, no, not every guy. And I think this gives, you know, some credit to the argument that, yeah, not every guy where you just give them the ball, especially these shot creator types, or you think they could do it, where you give them the ball and say go nuts. Yeah, they might not impact winning, but they can get, you know, numbers a bit. Poole can't even get numbers, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? He can't really get much. And I think Hardy is kind of in that realm where you give him more opportunity, you give him more responsibility offensively, and he just his use his efficiency, all that just tanks because he can't handle that. So if you think he can be a or next Kyrie or next star guard, not even our next Brunson, it's like if we're even if we don't put it to Kyrie, like if we're talking, and we're talking Brunson, like when he was here, not the Brunson now. Obviously, the Brunson now is pretty comparable to Kyrie, but like even when he was here, the 16 points per game. Do you think it, like efficient 16? That was another thing with Brunson. People for like Brunson was super efficient. Like it wasn't like he was scoring 16
Like
on
it
like.
was damn near 50-40-90, and people acting
Exactly. He
like
was
that was
like
no
50
big.
40. Yeah, it was like 80. He was like 50 40 80 really.
Yeah.
And so if you think you're going to get that from Hardy, I just listen. I would sell my listen. I do you know much money I would put down if you bet if you try to bet me that Hardy could get to 50% in a season.
Yeah, and I, yeah,
Like
and the thing is, like, I do think Hardy, because one thing I have noticed he's done, like, he's getting to the line. He's getting to the line low key a lot, but it's just everything else offensively. It's like, yeah, he turned the ball, like, he played 10 minutes a night, and I feel like he turns the ball over twice in that 10 minutes. And it don't even be like, he just is not a shot creator, or a high level shot creator. And I know it's the second year, but I don't know, man. We ain't got time for him to figure that shit out. And he's never gonna be able. He can't play with Luka and Kyrie, and we ain't got time to be for him to figure it out. So he gotta go. Like, all those guards gotta go. Like, bro, if you below 6'4", 6'5", if you're a guard, if your natural position is guard, this goes for Tim Hardaway Jr. too. You gotta go. Tim, Jaden, Hardy, they gotta go. They gotta go, even for players that could be slightly worse than they are overall, but are actually better fits for the Mavs. They just gotta go. That shit, man. I think that might be the episode title. They gotta go, 'cause they just do. We just, bro, we got too many fucking guards. That's really what this all comes back to. There's too many guards, too many small people trying to play up. I feel like and I've been talking about this for so long, I'm tired. I'm tired. With all that being said, before we wrap this up, let's try to be something positive. Talk about something positive. Have you seen anything positive that you haven't talked about on the timeline yet over these last couple games that has surprised you? It's like, damn, let me write that down. The thing that I remember flushed out, as much as I'm trying to pack up Jaden Hardy, I have noticed he's got to the line. Well, and but I can't think of nothing else, and I'm dead ass. That's the only thing I got that isn't
Oh, I
something.
don't have anything. Even the listen, the win was pretty fucking shameful too.
Oh my God.
So I really don't have anything to say. There's nothing really positive. I mean, Kyrie has played okay. Like a sustained stretch, but again, I'm not gonna applaud a fish for swimming. Like you're an all-star All-NBA caliber dude. Like you're supposed to be doing this, so I don't have anything that and not to be I'm not even trying to be a negative Nancy or anything. Like as you can see, I have not been on the timeline ruminating. I've been doing my own thing. So yeah, I don't really what I'm saying, I'm not trying to perpetuate all this negativity, but I just don't have anything super positive to say. And I'm not gonna
I got one
fake
more thing.
it.
I got one more thing. And it's kind of negative because of what happened. Derek Lively's an angel from basketball heaven.
I was gonna say something similar. I was gonna say, oh, maybe the only positive thing I could say is that I'm happy we got Lively. This is,
He's so good. God bless that young man. Like, when he hurt his back, like, it was seriously like it was somebody in my actual family. I'm like, please no, please don't start. I said a prayer and everything. It's just so crazy how, like, he's everything they needed at that position for so long. He's 19, and it's not just like we're not just talking. We're not just getting excited as fans. It's like, hey, he's legitimately the third most impactful player on the team already. Like, it's almost like the players know it too. It's like once he got hurt, they don't want to play hard. Am I crazy, or is that just my imagination?
I mean, I know it took the win out of the team, but again, I think another piece of it too is the fact that he's one of the few people that are even talking on defense. So when he's really not out there, they genuinely look confused. They genuinely look confused. And then
That
again,
is a great point that I did not think of. You are 100% correct.
yeah, like nobody's like even the vets, like even with like Powell and those people, like they're not talking, they're not communicating with each other. And how can you expect to have a good defense when you're not talking? Like that's crazy. And whether it comes from the players or the coach, and I mean mainly this was really on players, because again the coach can't be on the court with you. But even with the coach, like one of that clip that goes viral all the time with kid yelling on the sideline, defensive instruction. Like kid at that point, he's the one providing the communication. But the point of any good defense is that you can't have a good defense without talking. Like you hear the phrase, defense is on a string, all of that. That can only be accomplished if you're talking with each other, you're covering for each other, everyone knows where to be. If y'all out there silent thinking, okay, my matchup is my matchup, some of y'all not even concerned about your matchup. So it's like they can't, the defense can't even look like a semblance of anything good in situations like that. So with him, again, pointing things out, blah blah. If he's not there, no one is doing it. No one, and that's why even when Doran used to be the only one that spoke. And it's crazy to me that your anchor, like that's why Doran was really the defensive anchor, mostly because usually your anchors are the ones doing it. Like I remember when we first got Josh Richardson and James Johnson and stuff. I remember one of the things that granted they ended up not being worth a damn. But one of the things that I remember Doran was saying when they got him, and I think they were asking, it was like one of the first practices, they were asking Doran, like, how does it feel getting a bit more, like getting a little more defenders? He was like, yeah, like he's like, they're talking. He's like, usually I'm the only one talking, but it feels good to have somebody else talking. I'm like, it's little things like that, you know what I'm saying? That is, it doesn't get like, I guess, pointed out or stuff, but it really matters. It really matters. And I just don't know. Like, you can't, again, a part of like talking is having the defensive IQ as well to not only know where you need to be, but where your teammate needs to be too. And we're lacking on that front. You know what I'm saying? We're like, you got guys like Tim pointing to dudes, telling them where to go when he don't. He remember that clip when Tim he pointing
Point
out
dudes
to
and got lost his damn self.
pointing dudes and got lost himself. Like, you know what I'm saying? We have stuff like that going on. Like, that's remedial. That's remedial. So until we get better on that like basic level, it's not going nowhere. It's just not gonna go nowhere. And the fact that that's on the shoulders of a 19-year-old rookie is crazy. Like, I
Die.
don't,
He
it's crazy.
I don't know if I see, I don't know if I can blame coaching for that. Like,
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I can't put that on coaching, because like the guys on the court have to do it at the end of the day. They have to do it. Like, Grant, you could be a leader in the locker room, but on the court, what are you doing? Like, what are you saying to these dudes? You need a dude on the court that could do that, bro. Like, that's why I hate that we're bringing up Doran, bro, but I'm sorry. I love the guy, and these are certain things we're seeing, but like, like I remember there was one time in a game. Don't ask me what the game was. I don't remember. But this is when he was still here, and I think we had like a lead, and the other team was getting into our lead a bit, and we weren't guarding anymore. And you literally heard Doran in the court like, "Come on, y'all! Like, come on, y'all!
Yeah.
Like we don't have that anymore." You know what I'm saying? We don't even have that. Granted, it's not like we were some world beater ass defensive team, but we don't even have that level of accountability anymore, where it's
mean,
like,
the last full season, Dorian Finney-Smith played for the Mavs. They were top 10 defense and went to the
yeah,
Western Conference
yeah.
Finals.
Yeah, but that's my point. We don't even have that level of accountability yet, where it's like we're not getting stuff. We don't have a dude to say, "Hey guys, lock in. Like, what are y'all doing?" We don't have that no more. Like Grant, again, he just got here. You know what I'm saying? He can't. It's kind of hard, but I don't know, man. I just think, yeah, defensively, it just needs a lot of overhaul, and a part of it is that your best players aren't up to par defensively. It just makes things difficult. I think that's the last thing I'm gonna say on that.
Yeah.
Things are extremely difficult when your best players don't play defense. It is what it is. It just is what it is.
We'll talk privately about where I think that's going to head if that doesn't change. And buddy, I'm not even going to get into it. Anyway, guys, thank y'all for listening to this. We appreciate it. Y'all have a good week. Hopefully the Mavs pull it out. Go Mavs. My Lions got popped, but you gotta shrug it off and keep it pushing. Just like these Mavs gotta shrug it off and keep it pushing. We'll holler at y'all next week. Peace.